Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another Tuesday night installment here at Your Remedies in the Law. Tonight, of course, we're discussing various IRS administrative remedies with our speaker, Mr. Tony Davis. My name is Mark Michaels. I'll be your host for this evening's conference brought to you by Your Remedies in the Law, which is in direct affiliation with Americans Restoring America. Before we get started with this evening, though, it is very important that I provide you with the following disclaimer. Nothing that you hear on this call tonight may be deemed by you in any way, shape, or form to be legal advice. If you are on this call because of a situation in your life where you require legal advice, I very politely ask you to hang up the phone. Now, we don't mean to sound rude when we say this. We just want to express to everyone in no uncertain terms that anyone joining this call looking for legal advice has no place or business here. Nobody here at Your Remedies in the Law or any of the programs offered by Americans Restoring America is a lawyer, attorney, or any member of the bar. Therefore, no one here is able to offer you any legal advice. If you require legal advice, my advice to you would be get an attorney. As for these calls, they're all just for entertainment purposes. It's just folks saying what they might do where they're similarly situated to you. You might get a little bit of education out of it, but mainly you're just going to get folks' opinions about what they might do. However educated and experienced these thoughts and opinions might be, they are just people's opinions nonetheless, and it's always up to you to do your own due diligence. All right, on to the next subject. I'd like to go over a few things here with Your Remedies in the Law, if I could, very quickly. First of all, if I can take everybody to the homepage of www.yourremediesinthelaw.com, if we look up in the upper right-hand corner, we see a little picture of the Constitution. Click on that, and you'll have a separate page come up with just two items on it. These two items are of much importance, though, especially if this is all new to you. First and most importantly on the left is the jurisdictionary course. This is your 24-hour crash course on the rules of civil procedure. Better known to some as American jurisprudence or ANJUR, the rules of civil procedure are essentially the foundation or structure upon which all law in America rests. So to have a firm and thorough understanding of these rules means to have at least a basic understanding of what's going on in virtually any court scenario that you find yourself in. On the right is the common law default process, mostly known for its high national win rate in most traffic cases throughout the country. At least that's what it's most popularly acquired for. But that is not really why it's on this page. The reason that we have it up here with the jurisdictionary course is when you go through it, you'll notice that it utilizes a lot of the same fundamental procedures that you learned about in the jurisdictionary course. So it kind of acts as a real-life homework assignment. Also, for a lot of folks, it's their first time committing to action. Folks seem a little more willing to take that first step, probably because of such a high success rate and traffic scenarios being such a common interest in this country today. The common law default, although known majorly for traffic purposes, has many other. Truly, it's for most scenarios that you may find yourself in where there's no damage to property or person. It's just some entity is claiming you broke a rule, therefore you must pay a civil penalty. Both of these items are very affordably priced. The jurisdictionary with a contribution of $250 and the common law default at $150. Also on the subject of Your Remedies in the Law, most of you are probably familiar now with Americans Restoring America. Every time you visit the homepage of yourremediesinthelaw.com, you are met with that blue box that pops up asking if you'd like to continue on to the site that you were visiting or stay and visit Americans Restoring America. The reason that we've done this is very simple. We're trying to get folks to explore. There are multiple information providers talking about multiple subjects, as well as many other features and study groups at Your Remedies in the Law. And Your Remedies in the Law is just one of a couple dozen websites that all together make up Americans Restoring America. So there's quite a bit for you to see, and we hope that you'll do just that at your leisure. If you have any questions about whether or not we have an information provider that could give you their personal educated opinion about your particular situation, get a hold of us at yourremediesinthelaw.com, and we'll be happy to assist you in any way that we can. Statewide communications. If you're not already a member, please do sign up. Tell your friends and family about it. That's that map of the United States that you see on virtually every site that we have. It's a private communications platform that enables folks to speak with one another on a local level based on a very strict pre-decided topics of discussion. Essentially, how it works is this. A wizard will walk you through a very easy setup. You know, put your name in here, click next. Put your zip code in here, click next, that sort of thing. Then it will walk you through the remainder of the setup. And then you get to a point where it will ask you what are your hot points interested in. This could range anything from credit card issues, home foreclosure, IRS matters, asset protection, or maybe veterans' rights, maybe personal health rights, anything that you can think of. And if it affects your personal rights, you should find it in that list or something that's close enough. When the setup is complete, it puts it all together, much of what you think of a network. Though nothing like a social network. It's very custom, it's very private. But it then puts you in contact with people in your local area that have similar interests to you. The idea here is to put the power of education and communication back in the hands of the common man. If you are in need of legal advice or you need someone to represent you, you're going to have to get an attorney. It's just that simple. But if there was a way, a private place that you could go to discuss matters, your personal opinions, their personal opinions, with people that were like-minded, maybe you jump online one day and you say, this happened to me today. First person comes back and says, well, I disagree with that. I don't think that they should be able to do that. I don't think that's fair. Well, that's probably not going to be of a tremendous amount of help to you. Maybe the next person comes on and says, well, I'll tell you what I would do were I similarly situated. I'd watch these YouTube videos, and then I'd go down there to my local county courthouse, go to the law library, get a law dictionary, and look up these terms. Maybe the next person after that says, those all sound like great ideas. I'd also go to this particular website and check out these educational materials that might assist you in your learning. And then for you to go and do some due diligence on what you're reading, just people's suggestions, people's opinions at all. But if you did some due diligence and educated yourself, maybe the farther you got into it, you discovered that it's not as difficult as you initially thought it would be because you're focused on one single subject. And you get to the point where you've educated yourself, and now you're handling your own affairs, your own matters. Well, folks, there's nothing illegal or unlawful about that. And that's all we're trying to do here at Statewide Communications is just very simply get people to start talking again. Of course, there's no cost to you for using Statewide Communications, either signing up or the regular using of it. And so we hope that you'll pass that around. Freedoms Radio. If you're over the road, you don't want to deal with the call process, and you're just new to your remedies in the law, and you don't yet have your username and password, therefore you can't see the phone number in the PIN. By the way, if you'd like to pick up a membership to your remedies in the law, it's very easy. You just simply click the register button. Fill out your basic information there. You'll enjoy the first 30 days for free to evaluate it. After that, it converts to a very affordable $10 a month on your credit card or your PayPal. But every single call is recorded. You have years of archives to go through, a vast wealth of knowledge, as well as many other wonderful features. But if that's not an option for you today, you have freedomsradio.com. Every night, the calls go out over the air at 9 p.m. Eastern live. There's also the question bar there where you can type in a question, click submit. As long as that's during call hours, that will pop up on the moderator screen, and we do our best to read every single one of those questions out over the air, as long as they are appropriate. So you don't get the one-on-one with the information provider like you would be by being a private member, but you do get your questions answered. There's no cost to utilize Freedoms Radio, so no matter where you are or your circumstances, you never have to miss a call again if you don't wish. All right, so winding down here, I'd like to go over one last bit of housekeeping. This is your caveat emptor, or your buyer beware. For any purchase that you may make at your remedies in the law or any of the other sites underneath the umbrella of Americans Restoring America, when you come aboard and you go with an information provider, you are doing just that. Information providers pay Mr. Edward for advertising at your remedies in the law. This payment would be an expense to that information provider along with any other expenses that they might have associated with your particular product or service. When you contact us, all we simply do is listen to your particular scenario, quickly deduce from a list of folks that honestly most of you would probably never be able to find on your own just simply because they can't be found. Can we make those introductions? Not every part on the information provider is always going to be successful. Everybody always hopes for the best. We plan for the best, and believe you me, we aim for the best. But unavoidable things do sometimes happen, and when they do, you have to roll with them and deal with them as you would with anything else in life. But we also want to emphasize, though, that the intent is always to be successful. If you have any questions of that, we welcome you to visit www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com/testimonials and see what others have to say about these products and services. Now, let's touch very quickly on the subject of refunds or the refund policy. There is none. Not if the remedy is in the law, anyway. Of course, when you come aboard and you go with a particular information provider, again, that is exactly what you're doing. So any discussion of a refund or a credit would be a strict and private matter between you and the information provider, and even then, that's very few and far between. It must be extenuating circumstances. You are expected to have done your due diligence before you commit to any particular process or information provider's time. All right, lastly, pertaining here to all of the information providers at Your Remedy is in the Law, we'd like you to remind everybody that all of our speakers at these conferences are our guests and should be treated with the highest level of respect. If you disagree with something that a speaker has to say, that's fine. Disagreeing is how we learn, but please, you must always be civil. Besides, if a question is posed properly and then answered properly, then we can all learn something from it.
Well, Martin, thank you so very much for your disclaimer. We appreciate that. Let me check my board real quick to make sure we have all the recordings going properly. We are. Good. Let's see. Starting with recapping from last week. Where are we? Come on. Oh, here's we go. What actually happened? So far, we've covered how you were born a first-class citizen. And how you lost that. Then we provided a 30,000-foot view of what the big picture was so that you could grab a hold of it. And then we delved into how Congress converts state citizens into federal citizens, what the origins were for the federal citizens. Again, we recapped and reiterated and enhanced why state citizens and how they're converted to federal citizens. We then talked about common law versus commercial law. We then offered more federal glue, if you would, on what was going on. And tonight, we will be then furthering that regarding lost rights and some unanswered questions. A state citizen has the right to have a gun, if he or she wishes, without being registered. A federal citizen does not. In the District of Columbia, it is a felony to own a handgun unless you are a police officer or a security guard, or the handgun was registered prior to 1978. The District of Columbia has not been admitted into the Union. It never is. It's a district. It's specific for only Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 business. Therefore, the people of the District of Columbia are not protected by the Second Amendment or any part of the Bill of Rights. Despite the lack of legal guns in the District of Columbia, their crime is rampant. In fact, it's called the murder capital of the world. This should prove that gun control victim disarmament laws do not work in America. Across the country, there is an assault on guns. If you are a federal citizen and you are using your Second Amendment arguments to protect your rights to keep your guns, well, I believe you're in for a surprise. First, by registering gun owners, then renaming guns as assault weapons and handguns, those in power will take away your civil right to bear arms, as juxtaposed to the natural right to bear arms that they could never take away if you were but a state citizen or an American national. Of course, they won't tell you that the right to keep and bear arms is a civil right and not a natural right. The Supreme Court has ruled that you, as an individual, have no right to protection by police. their only obligation, the police's only obligation, is to protect society as a whole. And the real protection for state citizen to keep their guns is not the Second Amendment, but rather the Ninth Amendment. Let's look at Switzerland. In Switzerland, every household must have, by law, a fully automatic machine gun and ammunition. The crime rate in Switzerland is extremely low. A state citizen has the right to travel on the public easements, known as the public roads, without being registered. A federal citizen does not. It's a privilege for a foreigner to travel in any of the several states. If you are a United States citizen, indeed, you are a foreigner in that state. The state legislatures can require foreigners and people involved in commerce, people like chauffeurs, freight haulers, Uber drivers, taxi drivers, to be licensed, insured, and to have their vehicles registered. When you register your car, you turn over power of attorney to the state. At that point, it becomes something called uniquely a motor vehicle. If it is not registered, well, then it's not a motor vehicle, and there are no motor vehicle statutes to break. There are common law rules of the road, and if you don't cause an injury to anybody, well, you cannot be tried. If your car is registered, the state effectively owns your car. You have use of the car under circumstances, specific and controlled circumstances, but you don't own the car, even if you paid all your money for it. The state supplies a sticker to put on your license plate every time you re-register this motor vehicle. Look closely at the sticker on your plate right now. You may be surprised to see that it says in all uppercase, official use only. You should note in some states, they do not use stickers on the plate. You may have seen municipal vehicles that have signs on them saying, also, quote, official use only, end quote, on them. But what is yours? You do not own your car. You may have a certificate of title, but you probably do not have a certificate of origin. You are leasing the state's vehicle by paying the yearly registration fee. And because you're using their equipment, they can make the rules up on how you can use it. If you break a rule, such as driving without a seat belt, you have broken the contract, and an administrative procedure will make you pay a penalty. A state citizen may be able to explain to the police officer on the side of the road why they're not required to have their usual paperwork that most people have. Good luck with that. However, it's your corrected status that makes all the difference by providing identification from the State Department of the United States instead of providing a driver's license, which you would no longer need once you've made that conversion. It's presumed that everyone on this call has an axe to grind with regards to issues upon which the state is moving against them. So understand, please, that all of the calls that we do from this point forward on Tuesday are to reaffirm to you and possibly discuss with you if you want to when we get into the open Q&A after I finish my little monologue here, how that affects your ongoing case or maybe a case that was completed and rested decade ago, 2 decades ago. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. A reasonable person may ask, how did the government get so far removed from the model of government defined by our Constitution? Well, I do have some clue to that. Perhaps it was a small group of bankers who realized that they could control a central government much easier than by many independent sovereigns. Perhaps it was the natural outcome of specialization. That is to say, it might be said that a brain surgeon should not be expected to be an expert on farming or manufacturing or mining or retailing or politics or medicine, for that matter. Therefore, it's possible that the people wanted to be governed by experts, allowing them to focus on their pleasures and their careers. Perhaps these elite thought that they would help the poor masses by making decisions for them because they believed that the common people could not make good decisions for themselves, perhaps. Perhaps it's the result of people believing that they can get something for nothing. that it is the people believe that the government was stealing more from other citizens than it was stealing from them. So overall, they were helped out much more by these policies than they were hurt. Could be. There is some evidence to support each of these propositions, but one thing is important. The government is acting this way because we, the people, allow it to. No excuses. They operate this way because we allow them to. If the people were very dissatisfied with the government, to change it. And for all the complaining that Americans do, they still elect the same people again and again. Another good question is, if all this were true, why haven't I heard these ideas before? I think it's very difficult to keep a conspiracy secret for very long, truly. If there has been a plan to steal the sovereignty of the people, then many people would be affected, and more than a few people had to know about the plan in order to execute it, unless all of the politicians, the bankers, the media people were actually in on the conspiracy and were intimidated so that they would not expose the plan. The people would, sooner or later, find out. It is difficult for me to believe that every politician, banker, and media person are corrupt. I don't think so. I think that it's more likely that the people thought that the experts could run the country better than they could. Today, many people cannot conceive that the government being run any other way. It is my belief that turning over the government to experts was a gross mistake. Who are these people? The people who do research on state citizenship, they call themselves patriots. This may sound strange to people who equate patriotism with support for whatever the government does, as long as the flags are waving and the politicians say they have the best interests of the nation at heart. But patriots like Thomas Jefferson saw patriotism as supporting the value of liberty. The founders of the nation thought it was unpatriotic to accept being ruled by a sovereign. In the constitutional republic they had founded, each citizen was a sovereign without subjects. That is, we're all equal. And that did not mean that we each had an equal amount of money or an equal standard of living. Each citizen had an equal opportunity to use the gifts we were given at birth. We had the opportunity to have a level playing field. If you do not use your gifts wisely or do not have many gifts to start with, then you had to accept a lower standard of living if you would settle for it. Or you could achieve and work hard. People who received charity were not treated with the same respect as a person who did not. So how does one reclaim their state citizenship? If only a few people were doing this, it would be very difficult. But hundreds of thousands, millions have done this just in the past few years. This makes it much easier since alternative organizations are being formed that are servicing non-federal citizens. We should note that there are some banks that have been around for more than 100 years that are safe and not federally insured. Also, charitable religious trusts can be created to circumvent some of the restrictions that the list applies. There are many intelligent and creative men and women working on these problems, and as the years go by, it'll be more and more difficult to remain actually a federal citizen. The more people learn, the more people understand the differences, well, the more likely it is that fewer federal citizens will exist over time. As the number of state citizens increase, the amount of revenue that the federal government receives will decrease. And the amount of money that the federal government spends will probably not decrease, because most of the people reclaiming their state citizenship don't use the services provided by the federal government to begin with. And this will cause taxes to increase, which will cause even more people to drop out of the federal system. I also expect to see the continuation of this trend to add more regulations that the federal citizen has to follow. Remember, a federal citizen is property of the state, the United States, and they are totally owned and controlled as such. So with that having been said, it's a little early in the game, but I'm going to go ahead and open this up for questions, Q&A, and comments and conversation. Remember, again, the whole purpose here of the Tuesday night call is to take whatever given situation that you may have, present or past, and share with you how correcting your status can change everything and afford you the open the door, if you would, to make the team available to you to assist you in your efforts. So with that, I'll just say press star 2 on your keypad to raise your hand, and we'll go from there. Press star 2 on your keypad. I'll check Freedom's Radio first real quick just to see if we have anyone there that would like to already ask. Remember, on Freedom's Radio, you have a silhouette of a rectangle laying on its side on the right side of your page, of your monitor. And left-click into it and type away your comment or question. Then underneath that rectangle, you'll see a place to add your contact information so that we can say hello to you by your name when I read off what you're doing. We'll go from there. So anyone, we're going to have a really short call if nobody presses star 2 and asks your questions. We got a good group tonight. Please. We're going to be going away soon if we don't have questions. Kent, I see you there lurking. I know you always have questions. Where else here? Press star 2 on your keypad. Otherwise, I'm going to say goodnight early. I got work to do. Nobody? There we go. Bill, thank you, sir. Rescued me.
Hey, Michael.
I'm going, hello, is my phone working?
Yeah, did I miss anything in the first couple minutes? Did you mention anything about the American National Program? Was that on a previous night?
Yeah, that's all covered on the Monday night call, the Tuesday night call. Tonight's call is actually purposed to reinforce it, to go into the specifics and details of the different cases. Everyone on the call tonight has already heard them many times. We can go through them again, but the point is that everyone on this call, unless you have corrected your status, you are a federal citizen. And the government can do with you as they, frankly, damn well please. And there's nothing in law that you can do about it other than to reclaim your status as a American national, otherwise known as a Union State citizen.
And you've had success with that program so far.
Well, personally, myself, no. I'm in the program along with you. But there are 13 years of people who have gone through this program with GW that have, and his focus had been entirely on traffic issues. But the expansion of that is anything under the Federal Code of Regulations is now gone from coming against you. So whether it's traffic or IRS or some criminal charge that they have, what's called a malum prohibitor law, like you can't have cocaine. Although 125 years ago, you could walk into a pharmacy and buy all the cocaine you wanted. The point being is that it restores the value of you as a living being, as a man, with your rights from the creator of the universe. And that the founding documents, the Bill of Rights, et cetera, are an estoppel against the government from coming against you. And it's something that they're not happy to deal with because they don't want to lose the power. And you take back and you elevate yourself above the question. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, if anybody out there is...
You're breaking
up,
Bill.
If anybody out there is sitting on the fence about this, I recommend that they jump into this and get this done.
Yeah. In fact, the team, that's the reference I give to PJ and John and Chris and Bernie and so many others, the team will not, with the exception of Bernie's asset protection, the Charitable Religious Trust and the Corporation Soul, the Private Interest Foundation, those are or something different. With the exception of that, the team will not bring anybody aboard unless they begin the process of correcting their status. It is that critical and powerful for them to leverage. There's a whole new horizon that we're, a vista that we're exploring here, and it's the, it only lacks the imagination to take it where it can go. With our age of communications today, the internet, emails, texting, and social media, etc., once the fulcrum becomes positioned where we the people have an understanding of two different statuses of citizenship, two different statuses of the land that you walk on, once we understand that, then the uniqueness of this great experiment of ours for 200 and nearly 50 years now, almost 250 years, this experiment will prove out to be well-founded and well-enjoyed by all of us and our posterity as it was intended. We can say that we've been going through the Dark Ages, if you would, since the Civil War, where I think we're about to emerge from it.
Well, I'm anxious to see it happen.
Bill?
No, I appreciate it. I've got a weak signal, so I might lose you in the process.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Bill. Next is Philip from Billings, Montana. Go ahead, Philip. Unmute your phone, Philip. Caller ending in 4071. You raised your hand. While Philip's trying to figure that out, let me go over to Freedoms Radio real quick to see if we have any. Yeah, Karen writes in, since we won't need a gun permit, can we take gun into places that are federal districts? Oh, that's a good question. Well, that's a GW question, really. I would say so, because we are the authors of and the creator of this federal agency, this federal government. So, you know, let's just put things in something that is globally better understood. Can the creator, is the created ever equal to or greater than the creator? Can the Almighty One, if the Almighty One were to come here to Earth, which I believe he did about 2,000 years ago, and walk around, is he actually subject to man's law? Well, not really, no. He's not subject to it. Because he's the creator of it. He's creator of man. Of course, that's why they put him on a stake, supposedly. But Karen, just so that you know, every Monday night, GW is our speaker instead of me. And GW is the information provider who put this package together 13 years ago. Actually, he put it together long before that. But 13 years ago, he was active in sharing it with others. Not one single student of his has ever had any issue with traffic issues, et cetera, which has been his focus. So we've expanded his focus to include anything that you can find in the CFR, the federal list. Anyways, Philip, are you back with us yet? Well, maybe he just had an issue. All right. So I'll mute that back out. Anybody else? Press star 2 on your keypad. Press star 2. And we'll continue, hopefully. Or we're going to go home very early. Do you want to do that? Brent, Elmer, Blon, come on, guys. All right, then I want to, whoa, Brent, there you go. Hey, buddy.
Hey, I've been pushing myself way too hard. I'm sick as a dog. Otherwise, I would kind of be in the game and responding, but I can't.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Do you have the flu that they have renamed COVID?
Yeah, that's something scary. Like that. It's like I never get pissed, and I'm doing all the stuff, so. Anyways, I wanted to ask you, this is probably not the place, but you did get my, you sent out some forms the other day, and I
yes,
sent
I got
back,
yours.
Is it yeah. sufficient? Did I do it well enough?
Yes, I believe so. I have hired, or should I say I'm hiring, someone to do the data entry, which is going to be take a make it make the outcome much quicker. So we do have our first person was on the call last night. Pat and Kim were on the call and shared their experience of their 15-minute interview. And I hopefully will have others that will be, you know, sharing with their about their 15 minutes very soon. And then, of course, what I'm really looking forward, and it doesn't sound like something that you would want to hear about, but I'm looking forward to the person after they've gone through the process, they've got their State Department identification card, that they show that to a law enforcement officer as they were going 90 down the interstate in a 70-mile-an-hour zone to see what happened. I'm really excited to hear about that. I'd like one of our own people to give that testimony. And the other thing I'm going to do, too, is it was brought up to me today by another caller, is ask GW if some of his older students that have used this and have had interaction with the government, with the state police, would be on a call to talk about it, say what happened. I'd like to hear about that, too. So that's where we are, Brent.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you, sir. Well, check Freedoms Radio one more time, and if not, we're just going to make it an early evening and say goodnight. I want to thank you for joining me in advance. Let's see what we've got here, see if Karen or anybody else wrote back in. Yeah, several did. Okay, so my understanding, once status is corrected, your traffic violations, your criminal record, your IRS liability is gone. Well, it is gone. Yeah, you don't have that. But what you do have to do is to go back into those cases and have them expunged. Have your criminal record expunged. Have those judgments made void and expunged. Have your IRS. So these are things that the team can do for you. It doesn't happen automatically. It's not a light switch. Once you've done this, it's for today and the future, pretty much automatically. But what happened in the past, you have to go back in, open it up, dig that grave, and exhume all that those memories and get them voided. Get a void judgment because of status of jurisdiction, and go from there. And Karen writes in again, if I correct my status and have trouble, who do I call for help? Excellent question. Karen, there are people out there that are offering basically to correct your status, to share how you can become an American national. And from what I've witnessed so far, there is little to no support on their part. On the other hand, here at YourRemedyIsInTheLaw.com, which is what this is the sponsor of these efforts, you have the team. The team comprises of several men and women who are, as Jefferson said, knowledgeable in the law and well-disposed to using it. They are there to assist you. They have open calls on Monday and Saturday nights, and also you can have private conferences arranged to go over your issues. I send you something called a fact sheet, which is a form for you to fill out and personalize to your issue, so I can get it in front of the information provider before they have a conversation with you. And then when you sit down with them, it's pretty much a short call. You know, when I say short, it's less than 30 minutes, 15 minutes usually, where they go over possible solutions of what they would do were they similarly situated. Everything is in a teaching format. It's critical that you understand that this is a student-teacher relationship and that it's about the law and the remedies that the law offers and to show you how to do it. If one of the issues has to do with property, then you could actually provide limited power of attorney to one of the team members that can actually respond because they are the trustee. or they have this limited power of attorney within the trust, within this this article of possession has an issue, and deal with the opposing counsel directly. There's so many wonderful opportunities that this gives. If it's not about property, if it's about you, you get pulled over, you do a California stop, and they find a half a pound of cocaine in the trunk of your car, then you'll be taught how to navigate this written teaching material. Syllabus are provided to you. Some students have said, golly, I like this so much the way it is that I want to go ahead and file it. Well, you may do that. That's your business. It was sent to you as a teaching material only. It wasn't sent to you to file. But if you chose to file it, then, you might do that as well. We have to stay within the guidelines of, quote, not practicing law without a license, end quote. So that's what that's about. So, yes, if you correct your status, it's a totally different worldview that you operate through. So let me refresh here one more time to see if there was anyone else on Freedom. So what is the cost of the service of the team? Are they on retainer? How much? Okay, well, let's go first with the cost of correcting your status. You're looking at $5,000. You're looking at 2 to 3 months or 1 to 2 months for the process to be completed, and that's that. If the team is brought on board, you're looking at $20,000. It's not a retainer, it's a gift, okay? And with that $20,000, they will take you from point A to point Z throughout the entirety of your issues. If you have any unique expenses like copying paperwork or having to file a lawsuit that might cost $300, $400, those expenses are on you. But any of the teaching time, any of the teaching syllabus material, that's provided at no extra charge, and it will take you from the beginning of your issue to the end of your issue, all the way, which is $20,000 is very, very inexpensive. If you've ever interviewed attorneys, you'll really embrace that. Now, there is a caveat, and the caveat is this. Your issue is the team's opportunity to go for damages. Every time someone who is a Union State citizen has been arrested or charged or in any capacity violating their time and their space, there are damages that the offender is liable for. And once your issue has been resolved, there is a second bite at this apple, which is the brass ring for the team. And you would sign an agreement. You'd be offered this agreement of 25% and 75% to split on the damages. The 25% goes to you. The 75% goes to the team. Understand that no attorney will ever go for the successful challenge of the government against you on any matter, because that would be violating what they call public policy. Only people who are non-attorneys, non-members of the bar, people who typically, if it's their own ox to pull the wagon, will go forward pro per into the courts and navigate the courts as they know how to do it. And this is how they would teach you how to do it. It's not rocket science, frankly. It's not very difficult. It's tenuous. It's emotional. But it's not difficult. It's just a matter of progressively moving forward according to the rules of procedure. But the outcome is that in these violations, you then have something called deprivation of rights under color of law. Now, deprivation of rights under color of law is an American common law crime, if you would. But it's also been codified under Title 18, Section 242, I think it is. And the other is, no, Title 18, also Title 42, sections 1985, 1984. These are sections that are both civil and criminal of deprivation of rights under color of law. Of course, as a state citizen, you can't use those. You can only use the American common law of the expression deprivation of rights under color of law. But it has a hefty price tag to it. For instance, I think that it's $3,500 a day if you've been arrested. For every day of your arrest and confinement, it's $3,500. So, you know, if you spent a year in jail, you know, from the and plus the time of your arrest and any time that your freedoms have been restrained, that can add up very quickly. No attorney would ever go against the state. They are an officer of the court first, and they're going to do as the court tells them to do, not as their client tells them to do. And they are also members of the state bar. That the state bar is all about their public policy, which is to control and carve out the state as they see that they want to have it for themselves and not for you. So you have far more authority and power in your pinky, in your fingertip nail, above the nail bed. You got more power there than any of them have combined in a courtroom. You just have to learn how to exercise it, and the team shows you how to do it. And you have constant phone communication, emails, whatever it takes to get you to a place where you are going to be successful. It may sound altruistic that they want to do it because it's the right thing to do, and that is true. In fact, it's actually after you get talking to people, like one of the information providers, John, he may ask if you have a moment for prayer, simply because he knows where the power and authority comes from for what he does. But he's also the guy, too, that has multi-billion dollar judgments won and awarded against the government for their various deprivation of rights under the color of law. So the team is a great thing, great people that we've put together. I hope that answers your question. Let me see if there's anyone else here on Freedoms Radio. Nope. Okay. So back here we have Kent and we have Brent. Go ahead, Kent.
Good evening. Did any more
Good
come
evening.
Of that? Yes. Did any more come of the findings of fact and conclusions of law in an administrative matter that was talked about in the last couple of weeks?
Can you be more specific?
Yes, we were talking
about
it.
Are you talking about what you and Raven? Are you talking about what you and Raven were kibitzing on?
No.
No.
On this call about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the findings of fact and conclusions of law and whether or not that could be rightly applied to administrative procedure in addition to a non-administrative type procedure. And you said you were going to talk to somebody about it.
I have to be truthful, Kent. I don't remember. Do you remember who I was going to talk to about that?
You were going to talk to somebody on the team, I think, John. And then you had said that he was busy or something, but you were going to speak to him.
Okay. That got put aside, and I apologize. Can you simply put that question into an email to me or text to me and let me get that in front of him? I didn't do it based on verbal discussion.
Okay, and then secondly, there was also a discussion. A gentleman called in, I don't recall his name immediately, regarding the post office and how some of those laws were being applied. And you didn't want him to give out the website where all of this was discussed until you first reviewed it. What if anything, has become of that?
Yes. Well, Kadir, his name is Kadir. And he is actually associated with Raven. That's how I met him. And it is something that we are pursuing. In fact, we have an agreement that he will or is a information provider. I have first string and I have second string information providers. He's on the second string for right now. And so he's something that we're developing, and we'll be exposing him in the future. And what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is the post office is the post United States Post Office is in existence prior to the forming of our nation. And as such, under the Articles of Confederation, when it was formalized, if you would, from the colonies, it is the people's business through the United States Post Office that's conducted. The United States Post Office is not United States Postal Service. The United States Post Office is a creature of the people. The United States Postal Service is a creature of Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, the federal government. So what this gentleman has discovered, investigated, and he's been doing it for several years, is utilizing the services of the United States Post Office in respect to combating the things that the federal government is doing. So there we are with that. Okay, Kent?
Yeah, okay. And thirdly, you said you were entertaining and we're going to bring on some of the team so they could be introduced to us. And you talked a little bit about the team tonight and the charges and so forth and so on. When do you plan on doing that?
No, I've already sent out the invitations, discussed it with them, and they're trying to get out of their comfort zone from doing what they do. They don't mind speaking publicly at all. It's just that's just not their thing that they've been doing. So I'm controlling them to move forward with it.
Okay.
They're more comfortable in dealing with you privately on private conference calls as their student and focusing on those issues than to help me slap the cane stick on the podium and say, come into this tent, ladies and gentlemen, and see the bearded lady. You know, that's my job. And, you know, I got to get them to agree with me to come in and be the bearded lady so you can talk to them.
So you have some more cajoling to do then before this happens?
A little bit. A little bit.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And Brent, welcome back. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Well, I wish I were. Your discussion brought up a question that I've had that I haven't had a chance to ask, and that has to do with the sequence of – I'm working with Bernie, obviously, to you, to get the corporation soul and my charitable religious trust. I have those. But I have land and property, and I want to put that stuff under that envelope. But I also want to get it under the land patent thing, protection. And
yeah.
So is that something that I should be doing with it in my name before I transfer it over there into the corporation soul? Or is that something that can be done after it's in the corporation soul?
Actually, that's something that's done after your status has been corrected. Can a slave own property?
No, I understand that part, and I'm working, you know, as soon as I get that done.
Right.
But do I need to hold off moving it into the corporation's soul until...
No, you can do that.
My status is corrected, and then I can go through the land patent process and patent it and then put it in the corporation soul, or the sequence doesn't matter?
The sequence doesn't matter. I would get it just for the safety of the land. I would put that into its own trust immediately with the corporation soul as the trustee.
Right. And then it can be patented later?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Anything else, Brent?
No, that's it.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us. Let me check Freedoms Radio one more time. Remind you that you have an opportunity still. Press *2 on your keypad to raise your hand. And we'll go with some questions there. While you're thinking about pressing that button, I'm checking Freedoms Radio for any questions. If only one expungement wanted Is the price tag still $20K? Yeah, it's $20K is the cost to bring the team to invoke the team. It's the donation received to invoke the team. And that is per creature, per issue. You don't sit there and say, well, I got five that I want to expunge. Well, then you're going doing five times 20. Now, what you do is you do one. And when you do one, understand that that expungement is also going to have associated with it damages. You were damaged for whatever it was that happened. And because of that, then you're going to have, once those damages are settled, you'll then have the funds to go back and repeat the process on the others. And really, it's for management, time management and control, you want to do one at a time. And expungement means that it's already passed, it's in the past, so it's not like your future is in jeopardy, your future freedoms are in jeopardy, it's the freedoms that you've lost. And that's what you're going to go for an expungement on, and that's what you're going to go then for damages. Once the expungement has been made, once that adjudication has been made void, it's a void judgment, then you go for damages. So that's that. Let's go back to the board, see if anybody else has raised their hands. Press star 2. I don't see any more. I want to thank you all for joining us this evening. Remind you again that Monday next week you'll have GW back. To actually go into the details of it and remind you that Saturday is Bernie with his asset protection, the ultimate in asset protection, actually, estate planning, the best way to plan your estates so there's no probate, et cetera. It's the best place to be where you own nothing but control everything. So until then, I want to thank everybody. Good night and be well.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Thank you. Thank you.